Welcome to the Parent Equation Podcast with me, Aisha Murray. This podcast series is full of inspiring stories from working parents who are passionate about designing a life that works for them and their families. Working parents like you, who want a purposeful, rewarding career alongside a balanced family life. So today on the Parent Equation, I'm joined by Jessie Gomez. Jessie is a health and safety professional in the construction sector, but is also a TEDx speaker and is passionate about the motherhood penalty and gender equality in the workplace. So welcome, Jessie. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Aisha.
So first things first, I think straight into it, your passion for gender equality, your passion about the motherhood penalty and about diversity and inclusion, where did that stem from? So what was a catalyst of all that?
I think I've always been an advocate for equality. I've been raised from really advocate parents in France. So I always like had this in my background that unfortunately, the fact that I was a woman or the fact that I was a Black woman, I will have to work harder. And going forward, things will be more harder for me in a workplace or going forward, because this is, was the reality of my parents at the time. So they thought like they're going to do this coaching to their children and making sure that they've got all the resilient skills and soft skills to be able to go after what they want and not being stopped by what the world say about them. So I really always had this in mind, this advocacy. But the catalyst really was until I become a mother in a workplace. I felt like my own experience returning from maternity leave wasn't great. And I ended up walking away from a job I loved at the time. And this is, was like really a difficult for me, and it took me years to being able to come back and be here and be strong, because your confidence is knocked off. So this was the catalyst, was really motherhood, and you're really fragile at that time as well. So my word to mother, it's really look after yourself and don't rush back to work. Obviously, we all want to do a contribution, and I thought there was someone important. I wasn't in a workplace. You are important at home.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. So was a catalyst then in your own mind? Was it a catalyst around your confidence and your identity post-motherhood? Or was there an actual practical, it just didn't work, I suppose, the company set up or the support wasn't there for you? Was it a mixture of both?
It was a mix of both. I returned after 9 months postpartum, and you're still full of hormone. Still, I was breastfeeding, so I was still really not myself, because I think we have to say that we talk about a lot about a woman menopause and everything, but I like to see more things about motherhood, because I know all not all the mothers choose to have children. All the women have to go through menopause. It's nature, unless you have some health condition. But I'd like to see this in order. Women have periods every month. They become mother if they want to, and then they go through menopause. So this type of issue in a workplace have to be taken seriously. And my return in a workplace, I was a breastfeeding woman. I didn't have risk assessment proposed. And I wasn't asked about how I was mentally, and I had to go through a lot of things mentally, and returning to the workplace just like put me in a situation where I couldn't see myself coming out in a surface anymore. It's like physically I was out. I was having this out of experience body because I was, for me, I was like really betrayed by my line manager returning from maternity leave, asking me to do things well while I was trying to adjust having a new child as a first time mother. So it was around traveling, it was a lot of pressure on a first day, and I actually resigned on a first day, and I tell my story on my TEDx talk. I felt overwhelmed. I didn't have choice, you know. It was before, it was before Christmas. I think who would like to leave his job before Christmas? I didn't really didn't have the intent to do that. And after that, I didn't work for a year. This is how bad things was for me. And it took me really 3 years to come back as me. And often women say it takes 2 years to be back to who you were. And I think women, we want to rush and try to see, I can do it. I can I want to prove to the world that being a mother is not debilitating. I think it's debilitating. In English. But in fact, yes, we can do the things, but I think it's important that the workplace put support into place for young mother. And this is come all about having the good assessment when they return and being compassionate and empathetic to be sure that the woman will have everything she needs to be able to go back to work and feel at ease and in peace mentally. To leave a child behind, because we are in a society now that we have to pretend that we, and thanks to COVID, because I think we have to be grateful in a way that we changed the way people are working now, and now we can see that people are parents. Before we didn't know that Aisha had children, or JC had a daughter, because it was something like, you don't talk about these type of things in the workplace. You show up, you do your job, and you don't say that you have a nursery run and you have to leave a meeting, or you can't do a meeting. And I must say that now I don't shy away to say, no, it's work around my life, because the most important thing is it's your family.
I think you're right. I think COVID has given us more confidence to set those boundaries and be strict with those boundaries, because it is visible to everybody now. Everyone knows what goes on behind our behind our, you know, in our Zoom and our Zoom meetings, etc. Everyone knows what goes on. So so that confidence to say no and to say, actually my family come first, but I can and will, you know, I can be trusted to still do an amazing job around that. It doesn't mean I'm taking away anything from my role of my profession. But both of those things, I suppose, can coexist more so now. Not in, obviously, we've got a long way to go, but they can coexist better, more than they used to maybe pre-COVID. So what, you said it took you 2 or 3 years to get back to yourself. What do you think happened in that 2-3 years to help you get back to you and find your identity again?
I mean, what has been difficult for me is I didn't have family around. This is like excruciating, because you don't have your close support and the people who give you energy and support you. So I had to rely on my support system and friends. They don't always live near to you. But I must say that my GP, the health care services, have been amazing. Because when I started to build up anxiety during pregnancy due to my work, and then I lost it. I depressed. Can you imagine? I worked really hard with a job. I did go through everything. I even waited to have a child really late, because I mean, late, everything is relative. But I was 34 years old, which is not really young to have a first children, in my opinion. And I thought that I did everything right, you know. I got married and it was time to have children. And I pushed my career as much as I could. And it was like my world like just collapsed in front of me. So I had to have therapy. I was like really depressed. I was stressed. I was anxious. And I had all these sort of things. I was overwhelmed by what was happening to me. So therapy is the thing that really helped me. And I can't say enough. It was something that really helped me. And I've never been really shy to share about that, because I do say on my TEDx talk. So for me, it's like, one, I think everybody should have therapy.
I agree.
Honest opinion. I think we all have unresolved issues. We all have like pattern and things that probably come back from our childhood, the ways that we've been raised, and our story as well. You know? My parents came from abroad, I lived in France, was raised in France, but I was uprooted from another culture where they have to come, and it's all this kind of history coming, and and the fact that you have to study, JC, you have to. So it's the type of things that are rooted in you, and trying to navigate this world, like thinking, hold on, my parents said I should be doing this, but why? It's so difficult, you know. And now I have children, and being from Cape Verde Island, French, being living in the UK, the baggage and legwork of things I have now to say to my children, it's just enormous, you know. I have to be really careful. And for me, I do this conscious parenting, and I'm like trying to do, okay, what is good of my language that I want my children to have, and what is less good, and I'm trying to mitigate the risk for them. So not everybody's like this, but this is the way I function, and I'm really self-conscious about myself and the way I carry myself and things that are from my story, so storytelling is really important. I'm always trying to understand my roots, so definitely therapy was something that did help me.
And I think you're right. I think therapy is, I think I go as well, not for any particular, you know, reason. It's just to unpack things that are going on generally in my life. And I often say to people that you don't have to be at breaking point to have a therapist. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be at the edge, teetering on the edge before you then go and seek therapy or counselling.
The thing is, if I can get you, apologize before I forget. I had to have a coach before, thinking that I had a problem that me in a workplace. Think about it, you're bullied by colleagues and you think that I'm not assertive enough. I'm the one who have a problem here. I need to have a coach. So I took an executive coach, thinking that I had an issue not being confident enough, not knowing how to have difficult conversations. Didn't have a bloody problem. I wasn't. The problem who should have, the person who should have had therapy of going through some issue was the person who was bullying me. And coaching, mentoring, exercising, meditation, and therapy all goes hand in hand. It's like five things. Because I don't want to think people, therapy will resolve everything. It's holistic. It's a holistic approach. It's a systems thinking approach. And this is what I do at work and in my personal life. You need to think about things in terms of systems. And this is was probably one of the issues I had when my GP was great, but it's just one side of things. We're going to get you to have antidepressant, JC, because you're depressed. But the thing is, like, I used to exercise a lot. And then because I was depressed, I wasn't doing things that I enjoyed before. So I wasn't exercising. I cut off. I wasn't seeing any friends because I didn't want it to. So I think about this holistic approach, and having to go through this hard part of my life as a health and safety professional, it's quite really ugly because you want to see, you want people to see the shiny side of you and, oh, I never went through this, but I'm going to help people with their mental health in the workplace or their safety, physical safety and mental safety. But now having to go through that, I'm telling you, I'm like a fearless person when it comes to call out behaviors in a workplace. And I'm putting myself at risk because any future employers might say, oh, we don't want JC because she's the type of person who's going to get us into trouble. I mean, at the end of the day, they need to know what they want. And I mean, I won't be shying away of, like, I put everything out there, and now any employers who take the risk to employ me, they know who I am.
But that takes a huge amount of, it's not just self-belief, it's conviction in your own values, what you stand for. You know what they are. You know what's important to you. You're not afraid to articulate them, which is absolutely right. And I think coming back to the motherhood, there's a penalty that you've talked about earlier and the confidence. I think often mothers don't feel they can speak up or feel they have to meet the sort of expectation, as you said, about being able to do it all.
Yes.
And I'll go back to work too early, probably. I'll rush back. I'll have to be an amazing employee, amazing manager, amazing leader. I've also got to be an amazing mum and partner and everything else, friend, etc. And the expectation from society and from employers is that's what I have to do. And actually, if you take a step back like you did, and it took you obviously to get to a tipping point for that to happen, to take a step back and say, hold on a minute, what do I want? What's important to me? What do I stand for? How can I be vocal about all these things?
Yes.
So for all the millions of parents and mothers who are feeling like you felt or somewhere on that journey, I suppose, where do we start to find our voice and to be able to sort of stand up for what we really want to say?
I mean, for me, I've been quite high functioning during my depression. I was out there, but this is where I am. And I had to do things, even though the less enjoying things, I wasn't doing it, but there were things that you have to look after your children, you know? I was a good mom. Yeah. I was looking after my child, but I was depressed. And on top of that, I said, okay, what do I do? I had to step back and think and said, how do I use this situation, what's happening to me, to help other parents and to help other women? Mm. I knew that if I don't tell my story, I will be like other women who walk away from their job because there are many of us. And they never spoke up. So I felt like I had to do it. And often I always say to my husband, I do it for my daughter. And he always said to me, just, you have to stop telling this. You're doing it for yourself. And then I had to think about, yes, okay, I'm doing this for me.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for the parents. I'm doing it this for my daughter. But I feel like I had this duty to get my story out there and then next, get the story, put it out there. Nobody can remove it. It's there. And I will have done my contribution and did it for all the women who never did it. And I have women who come to me and said, Jesse, this happened to me. I left a job. I never spoke back. I never said anything.
Yeah.
I had people who said to me, I was depressed. I'm still depressed. I've got message. I'm still depressed, and they're hiding the depression. I'm anxious. I've been bullied, and I felt like I gave voice to people that didn't have a voice or didn't feel confident to do it. So for me, it was like keep doing things, even though I wasn't as focused because my PhD studies been impacted. I couldn't study. The things that I could do. So I tried to push in things that I could do and keep doing it consistently and look after your children, exercise, meditate every day. I took a meditation course. Happy to share the detail of my meditation teacher. I learned the practice to calm me down and to think, to be more grounded. And I even took on hypnotherapy recently. And this was like groundbreaking for me, because for someone who has a lot going on, it's something that ground me as well. So definitely, it's take a step back of everything.
Yeah.
Get a notebook. I have to write things. I have to write all the time. When I did my some clearing, I find like so many notebooks. I said, I have to stop this. So I'm trying to streamline things. I use my phone as well. I use the notebook function. This is really good. If you don't have to, you don't want to have like 1,000 notebooks.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me it was like, and I took on a coach. I know it's crazy. I had to feel like, so having therapy, having a coach telling me, okay, you're, career is a mess at the moment. I didn't have a job. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it's having accountability.
Yes. Know? Yeah.
Get back into contact with your friends, your family, and do things every day that keep you having a momentum and like you're doing something for yourself and for where you want to be in your career, for your body, for your mind, for your family. It looks like it's a bit of ADHD because this is a new thing. It's like, but I think everybody has that. We all have to be parents. We all have to wash ourselves every morning. We all have to brush our teeth. We all have to do thousands of things every day.
Yeah.
So in a sense, we all have to deal with several things and we have to make them go. We have to keep them going. So you need to plan. And I think planning was like something that helped me help me through to go back into some kind of normality, which like, I will never have normality. I have two children.
It's a different kind of normality.
A different kind of normality, yes.
But it sounds like then you're talking, again, you're going back to the systems thinking.
Yes.
Isn't it? So having something, having a system around your life and the processes in place and structure and plans and routine, not in a boring way, not to make things the same, but to give a bit of, to give that structure that you feel supported.
And keep this interconnectivity between things. You can't be a good employee and disconnect the fact that you're a mother. It's impossible. You can't be someone in a workplace that you can't be a different person unless it's really impossible. So keeping this like interconnectivity between your different system and workplace, home, looking after my body, looking after my mind, and how can I do it in a sense that everything work together, because unfortunately this is life.
It is. And I think that self-care piece is so important, because I mean, I have past friends, etc., who've done this, where life tends to start revolving around the kids.
Yes.
And everything happens. And of course, they are our central priority. They're the center of our world, our children, as is our dog and cat. But the kids are the center of the world. But we tend to start putting everything around that and actually forgetting where we fit in and forgetting what we need to do and spend our time doing and looking after ourselves mentally and physically. And it's not selfish to do that. I think that's what maybe some of the guilt comes from, is that, oh, but I can't possibly do that for myself because that's taking time away from the kids, or it's not putting them first, or it's not. So how do you manage that, making time for you?
I think the first time was really hard. Second time around, I have no guilt, and I don't mind being judged, and I try to keep things for myself because I know this society is quite judgmental, and having a mother that it's like 8 weeks postpartum and do things, or you 12 weeks, or you do this, or you do that. I'm just like starting back exercising again. People's going to judge you because, oh, it's too early, it's too late. So keep things for yourself. Don't speak about everything because people will tend to judge. And it can be people you love, you know. And it's not about judging. It's like people always have things to say. So I try to be more private as well. And also I get support, external support. I had a doula. So for my first pregnancy, she was there before and after. And she supported me during the 3 months of existence of my child. My mom doesn't live in the UK. People can say whatever they want, you know. At the end of the day, you have to do what works for you. People would tend to judge you because you're getting external support. I don't mind. I don't mind because I do this for me. So I take times to go to Pilates. I take time to have my online hypnotherapy session, and I take time to have a discussion with you today. This is because I can have external support and I allow myself to do it without without having this guilt card, and also authorizing myself to say, okay, it's okay for people to say this, to say whatever they want, but I feel secure with myself.
Yeah.
This is the type of things that therapy can help you, and coaching can help you, mentoring, and also it's come to do your work with yourself as well. People look at me and they think, oh, JC, she's like confidence. 3 years ago, I was crying. I didn't have a job. I had to walk away from my job. I use LinkedIn. People like, they were like seeing me having a breakdown on LinkedIn. I was like really raw. I was talking about everything. And it's not for everyone. I feel quite secure to share.
Yeah.
My network, and people who don't want to hear about this, they just unfollow me. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
My platform. Yeah. So I've been quite pretty honest. And this is my takeaway. Obviously, everybody has to do what works for them. Try on. But for me, it's get external support.
Yeah.
Don't get into your nest with your family, principally for people like me who don't have family here in the UK. I'm actually living in the UK. You have to do what's work for you. Yeah.
And that judgment you talked about, or not allowing that sort of impact on you, that goes all the way through into parenting, obviously.
Yes.
And the amount of judgment and advice that we're given from everybody, unwanted, especially from people we love, unsolicited. Yeah, absolutely.
This is something I had to learn. It's like, thank you for sharing this, but I didn't ask you for anything, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask for any advice. I will ask, and I do appreciate when people say things. And when I need anything, I do ask. But what I really learned is like they know one parenting fit all.
Yeah.
They know one child fit all parents. I have different DNA. I'm an individual. My child is an individual. You can't parent your child, which is an individual, with your own individuality. We're different. It's completely my trigger. I have a toddler. She's three. My triggering threshold is different from yours. My husband could have a toddler crying around him and like not move a finger. And me, I'll be triggered.
Yeah.
I would be like, what's going on? I will try to understand, but unfortunately, these little children, they learn to self-regulate themselves. So sometimes we have to let them, and we have to help them sometimes as well to understand, okay, this is okay. You can cry. You're learning. Mommy said no. You can't do this type of things. And it's okay for you to cry because you are learning. You are self-regulating yourself. So I had to learn this type of things. It's like, I can't ask people about how do you do this because actually it won't possibly work with my child. But it's okay to ask because you can have a framework and understand, but you have to then do your own blueprint in parenting.
Yeah, you do. I love that blueprint. That's a really good word because we do have DNA as a blueprint for us, isn't it?
Yes.
And it is entirely different. And also, I think the dynamics between partners as well, we parent differently because we are different people. My husband is different, obviously, different to me.
Yes.
So his parenting is different to mine.
Mm.
And that's okay. And I think
you have the culture behind as well.
Yeah.
I'm French. Mm. And my husband is from Lithuania. It's like a different Baltic culture. Yeah. It's already like different. The way they do things, the way they have this calm way of doing things, more relaxed. I'm more fiery. I'm a woman from the islands, from Cape Verde Islands, even though I wasn't born there. I mean, I've got all the traits, appearance, and it's on my DNA. It's embedded in a way I behave with my children because my parents provided me with an education. So even though I was born in France, I have this mix, you know.
But it's fascinating, that mix.
Yes,
so your kids, similar to mine, mixed heritage.
You've got
Indian, Sri Lankan, Welsh, etc., an English husband. So your kids are half Lithuanian.
Yes.
Half Cape Verde / French.
Yes.
How do you...
And British.
And British, yeah, and living in, being brought up in the UK.
Born here, so
yeah.
My daughter speaks English like proper, I mean, it's weird to say, but with a British accent. And sometimes she laughs at me when I say a word. She laughs at me, and I'm like, oh my God.
And are they being brought up trilingually then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I withdraw my own Creole from Cape Verde language, which is a Portuguese patois.
Mm-hmm.
I don't speak it with my daughter. I speak French. So it's something I would like her to pick up. But unfortunately, we just introduced free language. I mean, I say unfortunately, it's already a lot.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. So Lithuanian, French, English. Yeah. And how do you manage that? Because I've got other bi and trilingual friends. Some who are absolutely adamant that they will be fully trilingual. It's, you know, they're spoken to in various languages at home, and then they go to school and it's English at school. And I have other friends I've known who thought it might be too complicated, so tried to sort of almost held back on the, the bilinguality, if that's a word.
Yes.
And then, of course, that child then doesn't get the same level of native speaking. But it sounds like, and I imagine the kind of person that you are, it's important to have.
Oh, I did some reading and I was prepared before I even had my child. And we had the discussion with my husband. I think there are a lot of things you have to discuss with your partner before, before even getting married and having a child, and just before the child arrived. But for me, it was pretty clear. She will be speaking French. My husband was crystal clear. He will be speaking with her in Lithuanian. So he doesn't speak English with her, even though sometimes we do speak English with her because English is our common language. Yeah. I don't speak Lithuanian, and my husband doesn't speak French. We do understand, and we have some notion, but we're not fluent. So we both speak our own language with our children, and she replies in English. We just realized that she replies in English because she spent her time at nursery.
Yeah,
she understands 100% French, 100% Lithuanian. English, it's like, it's her mother tongue.
Yep.
This is a reality. I was really heartbroken to find out that English was her mother tongue when I was like, French, no. So she understands any command in French, but she does reply in English. Mm-hmm. And I know, I'm pretty sure when she will get older, she will start speaking. But for me, it's crucial. She keep this link with Lithuania and with France. We're going on holiday, she see family, and this is how we have chosen, and we were not worried about English. And I was prepared that she would probably start speaking later because of the fact that she had this multicultural environment, but it didn't happen. She actually was speaking at the same time that every children. And some parents will get really scared and hold back.
Yeah.
And I did read some research. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. For anything.
Yeah.
Don't research anything.
Don't hold yourself back. Just be. You will be amazed how children are fascinating creatures. They're like sponge, and they get everything. My daughter is just incredible. She understands French perfectly. And I'm telling you, I've got friends who test her French. Do you believe that? French friends like, oh, she understands everything perfectly. Of course she does.
Thank you.
We never know, but she does.
Yeah, she does. She does. So what do you think? What do you think is next for you? So now you've obviously been through a journey. Your own personal journey when it comes to motherhood and career and where that's sort of taken you.
Yeah.
Where do you see, as your kids now are still young, but as they get older, where do you see where is your identity now? Where's it sort of, where's it sitting? Where's it going to kind of level out for you, do you think?
My identity is definitely Jessie, me as this woman, motherhood / diversity and inclusion advocate. It's something that I would probably never remove from my identity. So I feel like the workplace, I have to accept me the way I am.
Yeah.
And I'm quite really now, at the age I am, quite mature, and I feel confident with my values. Because, you know, when you're younger, you tend to feel like, hiding, step away. And now I'm at this age of this time of my life, the season of my life where I feel really comfortable with myself, really comfortable with my career. I have my freelancing where I provide speaking opportunity, mentoring opportunity for young professional that want to enter the construction industry. I really want to share my learning for over a decade here in the UK construction sector with the Pracademic. But I also have a PhD to finish.
Don't forget that.
And you know what? I come at peace with that. Mm. I'm not perfect. My PhD, it's chaos. I started it and I haven't been focused for obvious reason that we were talking earlier. And if you want to know more, listen to my TEDx talk. But I'm coming peace to go through the motion. I know I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get the amount of support and getting with Motherwood and being able to, I have a full-time job, but I'm like kind of like more relaxed with the full-time job. And I got really, my current employer, University College London, is really good. Mm-hmm. And they are supporting me. And if I want to have some time for Motherwood or for my PhD, they are like 100% supporting me with all my endeavor.
Good. Well, that's ideally what we all need, is that support.
Yes. So this is really where I am. For me, it's like really supportive organization and looking at the environment as well. This is, for me, it's crucial.
Well, thank you so much, Jessie. And thank you for sharing so openly and so honestly. As you say, that's hopefully helps other women to speak up or have the confidence to at least share their stories too. So if people want to get in touch with you or hear more about you, where's the best place to find you?
The best place is my LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So it's Jessie Gomez. I'm sure you'll share everything.
I will.
But I'm also on Twitter, The Pracademic. Mm-hmm. I'm on Instagram. I'm not doing much, but things should move. It's The Mother Leader on Instagram.
Okay, and then people can find your TEDx talk as well.
YouTube. Jessie Gomez on YouTube. Your job does not define your worth. It's the title of my TEDx.
It's definitely worth listening to.
Yeah. So I'm sure you will share everything with your audience.
Absolutely.
But LinkedIn is a good place to find me.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for
being so inspirational. And strong. I feel more motivated. I thought I'd
I think it's a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. You inspire by giving a platform to parents and voices to people. You're also inspiring parents. So thank you very much, Aisha.
Anna, thank you. Thank you, Jessie. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You can find out how to work with me at aishamurray.com. Connect with me on LinkedIn or check out my free resources and quizzes at aishamurray.com/resources.